Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and my best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, shalom to you as well and to all our listeners, and may you be blessed by today's lesson on the appointments that God made with all of us. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify. Thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides protective strength, courage, stamina, and power that is so very much needed in these last days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and those who are keeping one foot still in the world, that they might encounter a spiritual awakening, a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that continually try to derail our focus on you. We also lift up to you our recent prayers for miraculous healings, and may this study glorify you. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so for the next couple of weeks, we will put our study on the Minor Prophets on hold so we can go over the Spring Feasts. Not in as much detail as we have in the past, but since Passover is coming soon, also incorrectly known as Easter, we should address it for the new listeners.
Should you want an even deeper study, just go to our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Yes, actually to the year 2017, where there is a five-week study archived for your added learning.
But first, an update on Israel.
Yes, major elections today. It's really too soon for any solid results, although I'm betting on Bibi remaining the prime minister. But remember, people there vote for a particular party, of which there are 39 running with the conservative Likud Netanyahu's party, or the left-leaning Labor Gantz's party, usually outweigh the others. But whoever receives the most votes must then form a coalition with the other parties until they have a 61 majority of the 120 seats in the Knesset.
We'll talk more next week about all that.
We sure will. Meanwhile, Gaza is still attacking Israel in spite of the ongoing truce negotiations. 11,000 Palestinians recently on the border hurling firebombs and grenades at the Israeli soldiers. The IDF openly admitted that their focus is Iran up in the north right now.
Fighting two fronts, north and south, you know, that's not an ideal situation.
And as we thought, and we actually talked about that last week.
You have some interesting news about Iran, I think.
I do. The U.S. on Monday designated Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps as a foreign terrorist organization. The move is intended to help the United States crack down on companies in Europe and elsewhere still doing business with Iran in spite of the sanctions. The IRGC, as it's called, has a ground force of about 100,000 and runs Iran's ballistic missile programs. So companies overseen by this IRGC control actually 20% of Iran's nation's economy, including important sectors like energy.
Well, you know, also they have many officials that they travel around the world.
Oh, good point. This legal declaration would make them the target of potential prosecution because of this legal declaration. Anyway, either in friendly foreign jurisdictions or through extradition back into the United States. So this designation will block any foreign representatives of the IRGC or the companies it controls from actually entering the United States.
And Iran's response to that?
Well, the IRGC commander said, even before it was official, warned that if the United States designates them as a terrorist organization, which we now have, U.S. forces in Western Asia will lose peace and quiet.
And Iran has designated the U.S. as a terror group on their own list.
Right, tit for tat. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security is getting an overhaul. You've probably seen that on the news because, immigration is a real mess. Mm-hmm. And it's all mostly, from what I gather, because the Democrats in Congress just refused to change the asylum laws.
Yeah, you know, it's sad to watch.
Yes, it is.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates in biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And let me also add, as we've been saying for the last few weeks, that your prayers and your love offerings are very important right now. So we are letting our needs be known to you.
And may God bless you for it.
Okay. 'Tis the season for Leviticus 23, probably the least read book in the Bible. So let's begin by reading verse 2 as to what God quite specifically spoke to Moses.
Okay, Leviticus 23:2. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts.
Thank you for emphasizing that. Notice he doesn't say they're the Jewish feasts. He says my feasts, and there are seven of them. As well, let me emphatically point out a very important truth heavily missed in the English translation. The Hebrew word for feast is moed, number 4150 in your Strong's, which literally means appointment. Again, feasts equals appointments. And the holy convocations, number 4744, mikra, means gatherings for rehearsal. So now, let's read it again with more clarity.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsal gatherings, these are my appointments.
Wow, saints of God, are you hearing this? Are you taking these words from your Abba Father into your spirit? If this is your first time hearing about this, that verse alone should make you sit up and listen attentively. God himself gave written down specific appointments that he, through Jesus, would keep with all his people, and in fact the whole world, who is willing to accept it. So, that means with you too. Especially knowing from Romans 11 that all his true believers have been grafted into the Jewish olive tree, and it's that root that supports believers today. Read it, Romans 11, especially verse 18.
So, you know, Christians now share in the Jewish root system.
We sure do. But many choose to ignore that fact. Now, we obviously saw that Jesus has already kept the first four appointments, which is the fulfilled gospel, the good news of our salvation.
And Pentecost by sending us the Holy Spirit.
Right. So we, all believers, have been made beneficiaries of these kept appointments, and we will soon again benefit immensely with the fulfillment of his last three appointments surrounding his second coming very soon. And, of course, we talk about that every fall season, don't we?
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tabernacles, and all these teachings are also archived on our webpage.
Now, after teaching on the feast for, I'd say, like 25 years, finally, more Christians are beginning to wake up to the importance of these appointments, taking them more seriously, but unfortunately, some churches still think of them as just being a Jewish thing, ignorant of the fact that we are spiritual Jews and that these are scheduled appointments made with all mankind to be kept by Jesus.
And as we said, we've just said, four have already seen their fulfillment.
Yeah. Now, you remember Ruth, who is the type of the bride? What she said to her Jewish mother-in-law, you, she said, are now my people, and I will not go back to the way it was before. Well, that should be us. Mm-hmm. We must look at the Bible as a truly Judeo-Christian book and read it through redeemed Jewish eyes, not through the law anymore, but with absolute freedom and no legalism. And once you get this, you'll never go back looking at Scripture in the Western Gentile mode ever again.
Yeah, but it takes time.
It can, but that amount of time depends on you. It's called maturing or being of full age.
As Hebrew 5:14 says, and commands us to grow.
Mm-hmm. So, the Lord's Spring Feasts are the first three appointments that surrounded his first coming as a humble servant to pay the debt for all our sins.
Should you choose to accept it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Always one's choice. So first came Passover. They historically sacrificed an unblemished lamb called the blood sacrifice. Jesus became that lamb on the day of Passover, Nisan 14. Now the next day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and leaven always represents sin, so they ate unleavened bread for 1 week. The sinless Jesus fulfilled that too with his burial,
when he took our sins to the grave.
Mm-hmm. And then Feast of First Fruits was the day of his resurrection, for he was the first fruits of the resurrection.
As confirmed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:23.
And then, yet again, 50 days later, at the end of springtime, he fulfilled another promised appointment on the Feast of Pentecost by sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, which we will talk about at the end of May. And by the way, scripturally is always on a Sunday.
Yeah, according to Leviticus 23, verse 16.
Yes, very explicitly.
Passover is always on the Hebrew calendar. Nisan, it's always the same on the Hebrew calendar. Nisan 14.
Yes, which on our Gregorian calendar this year is April 19th, and it begins at sundown till sundown the next day, which then immediately begins the week of unleavened bread. Now, in ancient days, and when Jesus walked, they would kill the lamb at exactly twixt the evening, it says in Hebrew, or 3 o'clock, which is still the 14th of Nisan, still Passover, until sundown. Well, imagine that. It was exactly 3 o'clock when Jesus' side was pierced, fulfilling to the very same hour his appointment with death as the sacrificial Lamb of God.
How do we know it was 3 o'clock?
Well, the Hebrew text tells us, as I said, twixt the evening, for that is how they told time using the sundial, which would be halfway between the sun from its highest point in the sky, which would be noon, and the setting of sun at evening around 6 in the spring season, which equals around 3 o'clock.
So twixt the morning would be 9 a.m.
Right, because it would be halfway between the sun rising and its highest point at noon. And by the way, twixt the morning was when they put Jesus on the cross.
Yes, he hung for 6 hours, and then his side was pierced at 3 o'clock.
Exactly. So both events, their ritual sacrificial slaying of the lamb for their sins at the temple, and the slaying of Jesus when his side was pierced on the cross just outside the temple area, and this was for the sins of the whole world, were done simultaneously the same hour on Passover.
Which, by the way, was on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm, had to be. But what an amazing arrangement by God. If Christians could just get a basic understanding of God's appointments, you can share this to evangelize many, as well as help the church desire more of their Hebrew roots. This alone is truly mind-boggling, how God so intricately arranged every detail from as far back as probably the sin of Adam.
Scene by scene and line by line.
Even word by word, the right timing, the right places, and all the right people.
Honestly, it really does, you know, take my breath away.
Mm-hmm, and it should. Mm-hmm. Utterly amazing.
Yes, it is.
And just some clarification, the Jews refer to the whole 8-day season as the Passover season. But factually, only the first day is Passover from sundown to sundown. and then begins the seven-day Feast of Unleavened Bread.
But the whole season is 8 days in length.
Yes. To include the Feast of First Fruits, which is always on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread.
And Jesus chose the Feast of First Fruits of their barley harvest to be resurrected.
Because, as he said, he is the first fruits of the resurrection. We should also take a look at Palm Sunday, and that was on Nisan 10 on the Hebrew calendar, occurring 4 days before Passover.
Which, by the way, is this Sunday.
In Exodus 12, God tells Moses to speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying,
on the 10th of this month, Nisan, every man shall take for himself an unblemished lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for each household.
And verse 6.
Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it twixt the evening.
Which would be 3 p.m. So again, 4 days before Passover, a young lamb was chosen and then carefully examined for 4 days to be sure it was blemish-free, checking every inch of skin and hair follicles.
Had to be perfect in every way.
And the size of the lamb should be fitting for the family so nothing is left over. Which is yet another picture that Jesus gave all of himself for us.
Jesus was a sinless, young, unblemished lamb.
And he died for all. And there's another picture, right?
He too was examined and questioned extensively in the temple for 4 days.
For sure. Remember on that Sunday, Jesus rode in on the donkey into Jerusalem as prophesied he would in Zechariah 9:9. Exactly 4 days before his death on Thursday. So on Nisan 10, which is Palm Sunday, he was examined by the Jews and the Romans for 4 days in the temple. And as recorded in John 18, Pilate concluded by saying, I find no blemish in him. These are the same words that are spoken every year after examining the animal lamb for 4 days. As was the biblical requirements. You see, God just set it all up.
Well, yeah, because Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb of God.
Amen. Okay, going back to Exodus 12 and their escape from Egypt. After the 4 days of their detailed examination of their family's lamb, now the 14th of Nisan, on the very first Passover in Egypt, the Hebrews were told to apply the blood of the sacrificed lamb to the doorpost, outlining it totally, even leaving the basin of blood at the bottom, at the threshold.
So, totally outlined with the blood of the lamb.
Yes. And by doing so, the death plague could not touch their household, as it would the firstborn of all others without the lamb's blood. Now, the first Passover was such an important typologically spiritual event that God even told Moses, as recorded in Exodus 12, to add a special calendar using the same names of the months, but now Nisan, also called Abib, would become the first month instead of the seventh. So after Exodus 12, they would go by their new biblical calendar, beginning with Nisan as its first month. In other words, they would now have two calendars, this new religious calendar and their first regular civil calendar that begins in Tishrei, commemorating the creation of Adam in the world. So both first months, Nisan and Tishrei, would be extremely important. See Joel 2:23. And for in these 2 months, Nisan and Tishrei would contain the 6 appointments of God, with the 3 spring feasts in Nisan and the 3 fall feasts in Tishrei, with Pentecost in the middle being the only feast that stands all by itself, 50 days after first fruits. So, for you deeper thinkers and probable nugget searchers, always know that after Exodus 12, when reading the scriptures, when you come across a date that says in the second month, in the third month, etc., you begin to count from Nisan on the religious biblical calendar, But before Exodus 12, you only use the first or civil calendar, counting from Tishrei. Now, this is huge Hebraic Roots 101, and it's a great piece of knowledge. Teachers especially should never forget this, or you'll never know what season it is, thereby not understanding why they might be doing or saying certain things. And here's the scripture in Exodus 12:1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month, talking about Nisan, shall be your beginnings of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Hallelujah. So actually, the two calendars is kind of like us. We have a date of our physical birth, and now we also have a date when you were born again into a new spiritual life. I myself keep a reference of the numbered months of both calendars that I printed out and taped in the back of my Bible. It's extremely helpful in my studies. Send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope if you would like me to send you one, or you can print it from our webpage. So, Passover is memorialized as the escape from Egypt's slavery. But for all of us personally, it's a type of being of the world and a slave to sin. Passover is a time of remembrance for us as to what Christ did for you and me. A time of the removal of all our leaven, our personal sins, by His sacrifice as the unblemished, sinless Lamb of God. When used in Scripture, leaven is always a type of sin. So each year, prior to Passover, the Hebrews remove all the leaven from their houses as a picture of sin, soon to be removed from their souls when they sacrifice the lamb. Most still don't see that Jesus is that lamb for anyone who wants to receive Him. According to John 19:30, after hanging on the cross for 6 hours, one of the last of His seven famous phrases, Jesus said, "It is finished." That's tetelestai in Greek, which means paid in full. Here's still another typology. These same words were written on parchment to all convicts when they had finished serving their time and their debts were paid in full. And they carried it around with them all the time. You see, there is a debt to pay for sins. That is, unless you accept the free gift that Jesus paid for you by His death, thereby canceling your debt for all your sins. Why wouldn't everyone do that? The major question, have you accepted that gift? Or do you want to pay it all by yourself? And that would be in hell. He went through hell for you, so you don't have to. Your choice, who pays the debt. How well do you know Him? You know, Jesus is your Savior, and He has definitely paid that debt. All I can say is, wake up, sinner. Don't continue to be a fool. And Christians, you need to get out there and start telling everybody you can about the great gift that Christ has done for us. And tell them about these appointments. Most people don't even understand or realize that God did make appointments with His people, that He plans on keeping, has kept, and will finish it off. So, let's leave you with the ironic blessing of number 622 through 27. Yivarekha Adonai v'yishmerekha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'leka v'yunekha, Eleka v'yisem lahashalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That wonderful shalom. So, till then, sha'alu shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace those who love her. Well, you're going to prosper. And always, Psalm 122, verse 6. And don't forget to pray for your president and for each other. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.